The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Taste and see the goodness of the Lord.
Christ has prepared the feast of his blood for you.
Would you please stand and join our voices together in the hymn of praise, hymn number 297, Beneath the Cross. Please follow along in your bulletin with me and join in at the end as I read this evening's prayer of illumination. Gracious God, give us the wisdom of your Spirit to understand and receive the depth and breadth of the love that Christ showers upon us. Bless this reading of your word that we might be transformed by its grace. Amen. Amen.
Tonight I read to you from the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, the 16th Psalm, sharing verses 5 through 11. May the people of God be blessed in this hearing and reading of God's holy word as we find it in the 16th Psalm, beginning with verse 5. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. Thou holdest my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My body also dwells secure, for thou dost not give me up to Sheol, and let thy godly ones see the pit. Thou dost show me the path of life. In thy presence there is fullness of joy. In the right hand are pleasures forevermore. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
In the scriptures that were just read, we find a beautiful passage concerning a relationship, that of trust in the Lord. Just a bit of background about this psalm. It was most likely written as a description of the anguish rather than the hope of the Israelites as they were going through yet another time where they were finding it difficult to be obedient, difficult to trust. Yet the psalmist David has made a choice. He has made a choice to praise the Lord instead of blaming God and demonstrating doubt. As we come to the table this evening to commemorate the Lord's most passionate love for us in going to the cross and dying for our sins that we might have eternal life and salvation. Let us confess our temptation, like the Israelites, to be faithless, and yes, sometimes demonstrate great doubt. Let us ask for strength to be more faithful and loving. The Word of God is full of saints that we enjoy reading about, who lived lives much as we did, with doubts, struggles, conflicts, hurts, and yet they found a way in their faith to practice trust and great belief. Hannah, she had no children. She went to the priest seeking counsel and solace for this situation in her life, and he told her to go in peace and believe. She did exercise great faith. She did conceive a son named Samuel. And because of this great blessing from God to her in her life, she dedicated him to the priest Eli. He nurtured Samuel in faith, and Samuel became the last of the judges, the one in which was going to anoint King Saul, who was the forerunner to King David. Jeremiah, called to prophesy for God a strong message which brought repercussions, great suffering. He was imprisoned, he was kidnapped, he was thrown down a cistern and left for dead. Yet Jeremiah's faithfulness in delivering God's message brought salvation to many. David was challenged by Goliath, rejected and persecuted by his very own son Absalom. Yet David was a great king, but he was faced with choices as we are. And so, like a cup, Psalmist David knew that God alone holds the fate and destiny of life. Our life. In the Bible, it's interesting what the word cup means. It implies trial, to hold the trials of life. David was reminding us that the trials hold the portion assigned to us, an inheritance both of joys that we experience and trials that we experience in life. As we read this psalm, we see something else. David was already establishing a relationship with Messiah, with the coming of Jesus Christ, born into the world. The one in this psalm who will also bring the cup of resurrection. Listen again to the verses 9 through 11. For thou dost not give me up to Sheol, or let thy godly one see the pit. No, thou dost show me the path of life, that in thy presence there is fullness of joy. Christ came and one evening had his final holy meal with his disciples, the last time that they would gather together in such a time of fellowship around the table. And Jesus lifted up the cup of remembrance. Do this in remembrance of me. It was a cup of suffering that he would have to drink from. He gave this cup to his disciples, and he told them they too would drink from the same cup, that there would be persecution and death for any who would be faithful to follow. That would not be all there is. This experience of resurrection would await all who are faithful. Hear the words of this psalm now again. Not as from David. Hear these words as if Jesus is saying them that night in the garden. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. You are my God. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Sorrows will increase for those who run after others. Lord, assign me my portion and my cup. I will praise you, even at night as my heart instructs me. I will not be shaken. You will not abandon me in the grave. You will make known to me the path of life. I will be with eternal pleasures at your right hand of honor. You see why this psalm that David wrote is a glimpse of Messiah on this night so long ago. Jesus was often comforted by psalms. know that he spoke the first verse of Psalm 22 from the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? So I cannot help but think that these words from this particular psalm were in his mind that night when he said, oh God, may this cup pass from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done. He would drink of the cup of suffering to give us the cup of salvation, ushering in the cup of resurrection. The cup, it's an object which holds a liquid, does it not, in which to quench our thirst. This cup we remember tonight from the very one who said, I am the living water. If you drink this water which I offer you, you will never thirst again. Jesus thirsted for people to receive him, for them to receive his truth and the love of God. He still thirsts for that. This cup of remembrance and salvation is about to be offered to you. So I ask you, as we think about the cup tonight, what are you thirsting for? What are you thirsting for right now? Some peace? What are you thirsting for right now? Resolution in a relationship? Reconciliation? What are you thirsting for to really finally once and for all know what God's will is for you in your life? What are you thirsting for? Security, love, hope, healing? What are you thirsting for? Jesus offers the cup tonight. It's a cup of grace, and it's a cup of hope, and it's a cup of trust. Drink from it that you might be filled with hope, with grace, with trust and strength. May that be your portion. May that be our prayer. Oh, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul, bread of heaven. Fill me up until I want no more. Fill my cup. Fill it up and make me whole. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please join me in this call to confession and pardon as found in your bulletin. My sisters and brothers, Christ shows us his love by becoming a humble servant. Let us draw near to God and confess our sin in the truth of God's Spirit. Most merciful God, we your church confess that often our spirit has not been like that of Christ, where we fail to love one another as he loves us, where we have pledged loyalty to him with our lips and then betrayed, deserted, forgive us, we pray.
And by your Spirit, make us faithful in every time of trial. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. But Christ suffered and died for us, was raised from the dead, and ascended on high for us, and continues to intercede for us. Believe the good news. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
Let us now enter into a spirit to receive the sacrament of Holy Communion.
I invite you to turn in your hymnal to page 13, where we will join together in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth, and all the company of heaven. We praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by the water and the Spirit. On the night which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread. He gave thanks unto God. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me. After the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks unto God and gave it to his disciples and he said, drink ye, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it as often as you do in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. In the United Methodist Church, we observe an open communion, which means that you do not have to be a member of this church in order to receive the elements. And tonight we're going to be offering communion by intinction. If you will come forward and cup your hands in this way, the communion steward, the clergy, will be offering you a piece of bread. Hold on to that bread. The cup, the chalice will be offered to you. Dip the bread in ever so slightly and then partake. Let us now prepare the sacrament of Holy Communion.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus alone in the garden. Then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. On the way, Jesus told them, "Tonight, all of you will desert me. For the scriptures say, God will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there." Peter declared, "Even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, Peter. This very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times that you even know me." "No," Peter insisted. "Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all the other disciples vowed the same. Then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane. And he said, "Sit here while I go over there to pray." He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went on a little farther and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." And then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. He said to Peter, "Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done." When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open. So he went to pray a third time, saying the same things again. Then he came to the disciples and said, "Go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But look, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up! Let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here."
You cried upon your
Hear the word of the Lord. And even as Jesus said this, Judas, one of the 12 disciples, arrived with a crowd of men armed with swords and clubs. They had been sent by the leading priests and elders of the people. The traitor, Judas, had given them a prearranged signal. You will know which one to arrest when I greet him with a kiss. So Judas came straight to Jesus. Greetings, Rabbi, he exclaimed, and gave him the kiss. Jesus said, my friend, go ahead and do what you have come to do. Then the others grabbed Jesus and arrested him. But one of the men with Jesus, pulled out his sword and struck the high priest's slave, slashing off his ear. Put away your sword, Jesus told him. Those who use the sword will die by the sword. Don't you realize that I could have asked my Father for thousands of angels to protect us, and he would have sent them instantly? But if I did, how would the scriptures be fulfilled that describe what must happen now? Then Jesus said to the crowd, am I some dangerous revolutionary that you come with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was preaching there every day. But this is all happening to fulfill the words of the prophets as recorded in the scriptures. At that point, all of the disciples deserted him and fled. Then the people who had arrested Jesus led him to the home of Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of religious law and the elders had gathered. Meanwhile, Peter followed him at a distance and came to the high priest's courtyard. He went in and sat with the guards and waited to see how it would all end. Inside, the leading priests and the entire high council were trying to find witnesses who would lie about Jesus so they could put him to death. But even though they found many who agreed to give false witness, they could not use anyone's testimony. Finally, two men came forward who declared, this man said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days. Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, well, aren't you going to answer these charges? What do you have to say for yourself? But Jesus remained silent. Then the high priest said to him, I demand in the name of the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. Jesus replied, you have said it. And in the future, you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand, and coming on a cloud from heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothing to show his horror and said, blasphemy. Why do we need to hear other witnesses? You have all heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict? Guilty, they shouted. He deserves to die. Then they began to spit in Jesus' face and beat him with their fists. Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came and said to him, you are one of those with Jesus, the Galilean. But Peter denied it in front of everyone. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Later, out by the gate, another servant girl noticed him and said to those standing around, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. Again, Peter denied it, this time with an oath. I don't even know the man, he said. A little later, some of the other bystanders came over to Peter and said, you must be one of them. We can tell you by your Galilean accent. Peter swore, a curse on me if I am lying. I don't know the man. And immediately, the rooster crowed. crowed. Suddenly, Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind before the rooster crows. You will deny me three times that you even know me. And he went away weeping bitterly. Would you please remain seated as we sing together hymn number 289, Ah, Holy Jesus.
Met again to lay plans for putting Jesus to death. Then they bound him, led him away, and took him to Pilate, the Roman governor. Now Jesus was standing before Pilate, the Roman governor. Are you the king of the Jews? The governor asked. Jesus replied, you have said it. But when the leading priests and the elders made their accusations against him, Jesus remained silent. Don't you hear all these charges they are bringing against you? Pilate demanded. But Jesus made no response to any of the charges, much to the governor's surprise. Now it was the governor's custom each year during the Passover celebration to release one prisoner to the crowd, anyone they wanted. This year, there was a notorious prisoner, a man named Barabbas. As the crowds gathered before the pilot's house that morning, he asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" He knew very well that the religious leaders had Jesus arrested out of envy. Just then, as Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him this message: "Leave that innocent man alone. I suffered through a terrible nightmare about him last night." Meanwhile, the leading priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas to be released and for Jesus to be put to death. So the governor asked again, "Which of these two do you want me to release to you?" The crowd shouted back, "Barabbas!" Pilate responded, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" They shouted back, "Crucify him!" "Why?" Pilate demanded. "What crime has he committed?" But the mob roared even louder, "Crucify him!" Pilate saw that he wasn't getting anywhere and that a riot was developing. So he sent for a bowl of water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. The responsibility is yours." And all the people yelled back, "We will take responsibility for his death, we and our children." So Pilate released Barabbas to them. He ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip, then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. Some of the governor's soldiers took Jesus into their headquarters and called out the entire regiment. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head, and they placed a reed stick in his right hand as a scepter. Then they knelt before him in mockery and taunted, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him and grabbed the stick and struck him on the head with it. When they were finally tired of mocking him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him again, and they led him away to be crucified. Along the way, they came across a man named Simon, who was from Cyrene. And the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. And they went out to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. The soldiers gave Jesus wine mixed with bitter gall, but when he had tasted it, he refused to drink it. After they had nailed him to the cross, the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. And they sat around and kept guard as he hung there. A sign was fastened above Jesus' head, announcing the charge against him. It read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Look at you now," they yelled at him. "You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well, then, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and come down from that cross." The leading priests, the teachers of the religious law, and the elders also mocked Jesus. "He saved others," they scoffed, "but he can't save himself. So he is the King of Israel, is he? Let him come down from the cross right now, and we will believe in him. He trusted God, so let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Even the revolutionaries who were crucified with him ridiculed him in the same way. Please remain seated as we sing our hymn number 286, "O Sacred Head, Now Wounded."
Thank you.
death on the cross. Hear the word of the Lord. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink it. But the rest said, "Wait, let's see whether Elijah comes to save him." Then Jesus shouted again and released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many people. The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. They said, "This man truly was the Son of God."
Thank you.
burial in the tomb. Hear the word of the Lord. As evening approached, Joseph, a rich man from Arimathea, who had become a follower of Jesus, went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. And Pilate issued an order to release it to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a long sheet of clean linen cloth. He placed it in his own new tomb, which had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a great stone across the entrance and left. Both Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting across from the tomb and watching. And the next day on the Sabbath, the leading priests and Pharisees went to see Pilate. And they told him, "Sir, we remember what that deceiver once said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise from the dead. So we request that you seal the tomb on the third day. This will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing his body and then telling everyone he was raised from the dead. If that happens, we'll be worse off than we were at first." Pilate replied, "Take guards and secure it the best you can." So they sealed the tomb and posted guards to protect it.
You there when they crucified?
leave this place in darkness and silence and sadness, may we be faithful to watch as Christ asks. For Sunday is coming, the resurrection of God in Christ Jesus is coming. May we be faithful until then.